I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Adam Levin, a nationally recognized expert on cybersecurity, privacy, identity theft, fraud, and personal finance. You can learn more about Adam by visiting his website, adamlevin.com. Welcome, Adam. Thanks for coming onto the show.
Hillary, thanks for having me.
So, Adam, to start off, you have an impressive background, which I barely scratched the surface of in that intro. So, would you take us through your career in cyber and I suppose beyond that, but yeah, just take us through.
I went to law school actually to learn how to be a legislator, not actually to be a lawyer. I moved on to various careers, one of which I was in politics and public service for many years. I was consumer affairs director for the state of New Jersey. I ran for the United States Congress twice. I started a company in 1994, Credit.com, which was one of the original dot-coms, especially in the personal finance space for credit education, information, and products and services. And then in 2003, I founded a company which at the time was known as Identity Theft 911, which became over time IDT 911, because the name scared people half to death, and then morphed into Cyber Scout as we became a global organization.
Awesome. Very, very fascinating. Very cool. And yeah, credit.com, that's huge. That's really awesome. And certainly in 94, I'm sure that was quite the experience of starting that up.
Let's put it this way. We were able to get the domain creditbike.com by swapping a hard drive for it. So that's how far back we went.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for quickly walking us through your career. I'm sure you could spend more time and I'd love to hear it. But today I'd like to talk to you about an article I came across. It's an interesting piece in the Detroit Free Press titled "Touchless QR Codes Open New Doors for Scammers." And I remember, I don't know, maybe it was 2014, I was working at an ad agency and every client that we had wanted a QR code on everything. And we were all joking in our, you know, hubris, however you want to, you know, phrase that, that we thought that the QR codes would become extinct, that they were dumb. Yet here we are in 2021 utilizing them more than seemingly ever, especially in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic with touchless ordering at restaurants, for example. So, Adam, you were quoted in this article, and I'd love for you to take us through how, like, what you found, how you know, how scammers can utilize QR codes for cyber criminal activity.
First of all, we have to look at QR codes under the in the context of the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, QR codes have been around since the mid 90s, and that's when they were used more for logistics, which is shipping and tracking. And you're right. Since the advent of both smartphones and in particular because of the pandemic, the use of QR codes, which really stand for quick response, has become more and more mainstream simply because it's a lot more convenient scanning a QR code than it's typing out a URL into a phone. Just open your camera and you get directed to a website. Seems great. And especially where they needed contactless menus during the pandemic, this seemed to be a godsend. The big problem with QR codes is you absolutely have no idea where they're sending you. And even if it's a legitimate QR code, a scammer could sometimes cover it with bad ones. So you end up, by scanning it, either being taken to a clone site where you're asked to enter information where you think is the legitimate site, and now you've just given away your user ID and password, or it puts malware on your computer, which could turn it into a keystroke logger, which means every time that you enter your user ID and password, that's being transmitted to the hackers. Or you could end up putting ransomware on your device as well. So it's convenient, but it's not necessarily secure.
Interesting. I never, in total honesty, I never thought about that when scanning a QR code. That thought never crossed my mind until I read this article and now hearing more from you. It just, I'm sure I'm not alone in that. I mean, I hope I'm not, I mean, I hope people know things, but I also hope that I'm in good company of people kind of being unaware of that, of this is something they should watch out for.
Well, and the other issue with QR codes is let's assume it's completely legitimate and no hacker has done anything to alter it. It still could be opening up your device to providing all sorts of information like contact lists and other pieces of sensitive personal information to a legitimate retailer. Because one of the things that's become very clear is we are living in a surveillance economy. Certainly, Edward Snowden reminded us that we're living in a surveillance society. But a surveillance economy is where you have all of these devices either listening to you, gathering information based on your habits, sending it back to manufacturers, or possibly that information is diverted to the bad guys because they've managed to find a way to hack into your network and then make themselves sort of part of your daily life. The only problem is you don't know they're there.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And so you mentioned keylogging, and you mentioned, you know, giving away your login information. But I'm also thinking about my experience at restaurants over the past year and a half. And sometimes I'm ordering directly. So credit card information, you know, is this all the type of information that's potentially up for grabs from folks?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why, you know, I have a phrase that I love to use, and it's kind of like, go to the source if you don't want remorse. So maybe it's a better idea, instead of scanning a QR code, going directly to the website of the restaurant and then looking at the menu for the restaurant and then speaking directly to, let's say you're in the restaurant, speaking directly to the server and then doing the transaction you normally would have done it, as opposed to allowing a QR code to crawl into your device.
Right. Okay. That's a good piece of advice. And I think from what I read, there are some red flags that consumers should know about with regard to QR code scams. So can you take us through what those are?
Well, first is, and this is goes back to when we were kids, is, you know, don't talk to strangers. Well, don't open links from strangers. So if you get an unsolicited message and it has a QR code in it, don't do it. Even if they're saying, no, scan this code and you'll be eligible for prizes and gifts or investment opportunities. And the second thing is really verify the source. So even if it appears to come from a well-known organization, still, or a government agency, go directly to the website of that organization. Also, be suspicious after you scan a code. If they're asking you for a password or login information, don't ever give them extra information. Also, be wary of short links. And this is where you see a URL shortened link that appears when you scan a QR code. Because understand that you can't know where the code is taking you, and it could be hiding behind a malicious address. Also, sometimes scammers will take legitimate business ads and then make them not so legitimate. In other words, putting fake codes on the ads. There's another thing that you can do, and that is that you can have a QR scanner download app, which gives you added security. And some antivirus companies actually have QR scanner apps that check the safety of a scanned link before you open it, so it can identify a phishing scam or a forced down upload or other dangerous links. But I think the way you have to operate these days, and unfortunately it's become this, is, you know, President Reagan once said, you know, trust but verify. In this case, in this world, never trust, always verify, always question.
I like that. And that's very interesting about the QR scanner apps, because I know at least for iPhones, which is what I use, yeah, you just open the camera up and it just it detects it. And then it, like, you, I think you enable, you allow it to bring you to wherever you're going. But of course, whatever you're curious in, you're going to allow, because you want to see what's on the other side of that. That's how these criminals capitalize on us and fish us, right? It's just totally based on our curiosity and other emotional triggers. So that's really great advice on the QR scanner apps, especially since it seems like QR codes are not going away for the foreseeable future.
And if I might add you one other thing too, and that a good rule of thumb, and I know that some people go, oh, it's going to take me a few extra seconds. Turn your smartphone off and then restart it regularly, because many forms of malware that live on your phone, such as spyware, they depend upon your device never being turned off. So sometimes by simply turning it off, you can eliminate the dangers of some of the malware that shows up, or spyware, as a result of scanning the wrong code or clicking on the wrong link.
Oh, interesting. So I guess that's a silver lining of the battery in my phone going, because it dies all the time.
Sometimes in death comes renewed life. Yeah.
Very true. Oh, that's very true. Awesome. Well, Adam, anything else you'd like listeners to know about QR codes or beyond? I mean, you could leave us with more general advice too. I feel like you are such a great person to pick the brain of for advice on cybersecurity and staying safe.
Well, I really think, you know, in my book Swiped, I talk about what I call the three M's. And that's putting the world we live in into a framework that makes it easier to understand and also makes it less daunting when you're dealing with issues like cyber issues or identity theft issues. And the first is minimize your risk of exposure, reduce your attackable surface, which is not easy in a world with billions of Internet of Things devices, many of which are not secure, and they're gathering information on you. The second is monitor so that you know as quickly as possible you have a problem. And the third is manage the damage. So very briefly, minimizing risks of exposure is long and strong password protocols, two-factor authentication, use a password manager, makes life a lot simpler. Don't share passwords across your universe of websites. Don't click on links or open attachments. Never authenticate yourself to someone who contacts you. If you call them, like a bank or a government agency, and they ask you to confirm who you are, that's really for your protection. Be careful when you download apps. Unless they're coming from legitimate app stores, you could be putting something on your device that you will seriously regret. Also consider freezing your credit. So these are ways to minimize your risk of exposure. The second is monitor, and that means get your credit report, review it, understand it, and look particularly for things you never remember that you did as opposed to things that you did. Track your credit scores. If they take a sudden precipitous drop, it could be an indication that you're a victim of identity theft. Sign up for transactional monitoring, offered for free by banks and credit card companies that notify you anytime there's a transaction in any of your accounts, because you may know better than the institution that that doesn't look right. Even check explanation of benefit statements that come to your health insurers, because you may find that you were never there for that exam, or that person was asking the doctor to do something that you would never do because you have an allergy to something like it. So look to see what's going on with your explanation of benefit reports. It's surprising. Get sophisticated monitoring programs that have dark web monitoring and also notification, which is called either Me Not Me or instant notification, that notifies you as a transaction is occurring and asks, is this you? And then the third M is manage the damage. A lot of people don't realize that coming from their insurance company or some of their financial organizations or the HR department where they work, there are programs that will help you through cyber or identity incidents. And in some cases, it's free as a perk of your relationship, or it's deeply discounted.
Fantastic. Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us more about what you know about the QR code scams, as well as that great advice that was much more comprehensive. And I think our listeners will really enjoy hearing that and taking that and practicing the three M's in their daily lives. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it and hope we can do it again.
Yeah, I do too. I'd love to have you back. Thanks so much, Adam.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Adam Levin, a nationally recognized expert on cybersecurity, privacy, identity theft, fraud, and personal finance. You can learn more about Adam by visiting his website, adamlevin.com, and you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.